Take your Bible this morning, please, and go with me to the book of Matthew and chapter number 28. The book of Matthew and chapter number 28. I'm entitled my message today, The Greatest Event in History. The Greatest Event in History. There is no greater event than the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. No greater event in all of history. The Bible declares it, and what happened on that great day was to the saving of millions and maybe even billions of people across generations of time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read Matthew chapter 28 for you this morning, and then I want to notice some of these great things that occurred on that great day in this passage of Scripture. So please follow along with me as we read Matthew chapter 28 and begin with verse number 1 in God's Word. The Bible says here, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you so much when we can look and focus just as the resurrected Jesus. We know today we have life because you had life. We know that death could not hold you, and one day death will not hold the saved. We know, Lord, and thank you today that we're safe in your hand, and that with you there is all power for those who know you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we do honor and glory to you in the resurrection. But Lord, I pray and know that it would all be in vain, that if someone here were to slip out into eternity and not have trusted the resurrection of the Lord, they would remain dead in their trespasses and sins. Lord, I pray today that you'd save that one who's nearest in eternal hell today. I pray that you'd open their heart to the realization that Christ wants to save them and give them a home forever. I pray. Help us to do thy will and thy word. In this hour we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before, there's probably no greater event in all of history than this one great event that we know of called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing because its power 2,000 years ago is still felt time and time again. The power of what was done on that cross and in the grave, but after the grave, because the grave is empty, it signifies a power that death does not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And by the way, had he not passed through the gate of death, he could not have been resurrected again. Why? If we had a God who ended his life by waving goodbye to us and just ascended up into heaven, then we wouldn't understand that in our own personal heart and our own personal life, we too could be raised up again. You see, the power of the resurrection is what's important for us to remember and notice. Because that power was not just held in his hand, but that power that he held in his hand is a free gift to each one of us. And that is the power of the resurrection. You know, as I look at this story, I find it very interesting as we see the power that God put in it. You know, I don't know about you, but I like powerful things. Amen? I don't want a little motorcycle. I want a powerful one. Amen? I don't want something that's weak and wimpy, and all God's people said. Amen. Right. I like something that's got some power to it. Amen? And I tell you, one of these days, I'm going to get a powerful pickup truck too. Amen? Yeah. But I like powerful things. And by the way, can I tell you, the resurrection is the most powerful event there ever was. The empty grave is a picture of that power. Nobody came in and took him. Nobody could talk him out of going through death. He did it willingly. He did it of his own free will, knowing that he was God and that death really didn't matter to him. But the death that he went through was for you and me. It wasn't for him. It was for him to show us his power that we might be raised from the dead again. And the story is very wonderful. I love the story. Mary and Mary Magdalene, these two, they come to the tomb. And as they come to the tomb that day, probably early in the morning, they see the stone was rolled away. When I was in Israel, I saw what these stones were. They were a flat stone about a foot and a half thick. And they were about 12 feet high. And they rolled across the door in like a trough. You know, usually when I think of a stone that was rolled away, we think of like a big boulder or something like that. But it wasn't exactly like that. It was a great big round flat stone, and it was about that thick. And they would roll it in the trough and cover up the grave. And by the way, that grave was made for a rich man. It wasn't made for Jesus. It was made for Joseph of Arimathea. But you see, Mary and Mary Magdalene, they went to the grave that day. And when they saw the stone, it was rolled away. Now, that was important because they had to seal the stone. They had to seal it. And not only that, but they placed guards in front of it so that nothing could happen. So that it was all just a big hoax. This pretender who claimed to be the king of the Jews and did a few miracles, and we all know his tricks behind the scene. Finally, we're going to remedy his fallacies. Finally, through death, we're going to shut his mouth. And finally, through death, he will not lead astray the hearts and the minds of these simple people. But let me tell you something. They couldn't understand why a sealed tomb had the door and the stone rolled away. And they couldn't explain why the two guards who stood guard on that, knowing that if they had given up, if they had allowed anything to happen to that tomb, that it would mean their life. And yet seeing these two trembling in fear, shaking, as the Bible calls it, they were shaken because of fear. They were afraid they were going to come and kill them for allowing the tomb to be opened. But you know what's interesting is nobody, not even the chief priests or the elders who came in there, none of them ever said that the resurrection didn't happen. They simply came and concocted a story to try to get these men who were in front of the stone, tried to get them to spin things in a different way. So they came to these fearful men and said, "Hey, don't tell anybody what happened here. Because if word gets out, we're going to lose control. And what this Jesus stood for is going to take over. So we're going to give you some money." No wonder the Bible says money is the root of all evil. And Judas found that out too. Because as soon as he got 30 pieces of silver in his hand, he didn't want it anymore. And he threw it down. And one hanged himself. But he said to these guards, "We're going to give you some money. And in giving you that money, we want you to concoct a story. Let's put a spin on it. And tell him his disciples came in and rolled the stone away. And that's what happened." But can I tell you something else amazing happened? He then appeared. He then stood up and showed who he was. An angel came to Mary and Mary Magdalene and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And you see, I want you to notice the first thing about this is that it did not bring them sadness. It brought them joy. Look, if you will, at verse number 8. It says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and what? Great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word." They weren't sad about it. They had a fear like a godly respect because they knew God's what God had said was going to happen. By the way, let me tell you something. If God says it in his word, you mark it down, it's going to happen. God, the Bible says, he cannot lie. Even if he tried, he couldn't lie. God cannot lie. When God has something in his word that he says, mark it down, it's true. It'll never end. It'll never fail or falter. And Jesus told his disciples, "If I go, I'm coming back again." He said, I'm not going to go away in death. You won't have to go to a grave and mourn my body. I'll be gone. I'll be alive. And so Mary and Mary Magdalene, they did not look at this incident as sadness. It said great joy. You know why? Because they knew his word was fulfilled. His word was good. Can I tell you, if Jesus says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, do you think that word is good? I say it's good. If Jesus said, I'm going to be raised from the dead, and he did it, don't you think that that truth prefaces everything else that he said? Don't you think that truth solidifies every other word that Jesus said? Don't you believe Jesus when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again? You must be born again. I heard a story about a preacher who got up and he preached on the subject, you must be born again. And the next Sunday he got up again on the second Sunday and he preached on the subject again, you must be born again. And the third week came around. Sunday morning the crowd was there and the preacher got up and he said, I'm going to preach on the subject, you must be born again. And afterwards, a few antsy people in the audience came to the preacher afterward and they said, preacher, we appreciate your messages and we appreciate your sermons, but how come you're always preaching on you must be born again? And the preacher looked at him and said, because you must be born again. Oh, I'm saying to you this morning, believe God. If you can believe in the resurrection, you can believe in salvation. Amen? If you know that he isn't in a grave today, but he ever liveth to make intercession for us, that those wounds that he bore on that old rugged cross are still paying the cost and the penalty of sins of man throughout all of history. And all we have to do is open our hearts to him. And by salvation, ask him to come in and save us and wash those sins away. He'll do it. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. See, I can believe that because I know he rose from the dead. Amen? You know, some people say, preacher, I'll get saved someday when I get around to it. I'll get there, preacher. It'll take me some time. I'll get there. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. And if you believe that he got up from that grave and rose again, then don't you also believe his words when he said, today is the day of salvation? I'm glad that day as a 13-year-old boy that I walked the aisle. I felt something in my heart change that day. I felt that Holy Spirit was knocking on my heart. And I knew, even though I'd grown up in church, hey, listen, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you an automobile. Amen? You got to be born again. It's a spiritual birth. Spiritual birth that you need. And I walked the aisle that day. I felt Holy Spirit tugging at my heart. And he wasn't just tugging. He was knocking and tugging and pulling and rattling, saying you need to be saved. Oh, I'm glad I held on to that pew. Boy, you know, I held on to that pew in front of me. I was on the third row. So you folks on the third row, watch out. Amen. And I was hanging on to that pew. Third row, man alive, and the fourth night of revival services came, and the preacher preached, and all I could think about was, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I didn't hear a word he said, but I sure heard the Holy Spirit of God. Boy was telling me I need to get saved. By the way, the same voice that got up from the grave that day was the same voice that told me I needed to be saved. Boy, I struggled with it for a little while. And I didn't get saved that night. And the next day I was mowing lawns. And there was some conviction in my heart. And as I was mowing the lawn, I literally held on to that mower because I thought that if that mower got loose, it was going to turn around and chop me up. That's the kind of conviction I was under. I mean, the weight of my sin was heavy. And I knew that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but that night, thank God the next night came. By the way, thank God for revival services. Amen. I thank God for them. Because it was that night I grabbed onto that pew and man, there was something slippery on it. Thank God. And my hand slipped off and I went down and I shook the preacher's hand. I said, I need to be saved. And the preacher's wife prayed with me. And I got saved, 13 years old. Best day of my life. But I want to tell you something that could have never happened had he never got up out of that grave. Never happened. If you're here today, like me, you have a different testimony of your salvation. You have maybe some different experiences or a different set of circumstances that led you to the risen Lord. Can I tell you something? Your testimony is a testimony that grave is empty. That he is alive because the life that he gave you in salvation, causing you to be born again, was the life that was wrought when he got up from that grave and ascended into heaven. No wonder Mary had great joy. No wonder she wasn't sad or looked down and said, oh, I don't know what we're going to do for church services anymore. He's gone. What are we going to do? No. That was not the cause of their negativity. That was the cause of their positiveness. They had great joy. Mary, a mother, did not want to see her child die and leave. So why would she have such great joy? Because she knew she'd be with him again. She knew it was not permanent, but it was just a short while before she saw Jesus again. Oh, I want to say to you today, is there this great joy in your heart of a resurrected Lord? Because the resurrection isn't about, it's not about a religion. It's about opening your heart personally to a God who loves you greater than you can imagine. And opening your heart to this wonderful God and asking him to save you. Has that ever happened to you? It can. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every once in a while, somebody will tell me, Pastor, I think I'll get to heaven because I've been a good person. You know, we should be good, right? But I got news for you. Being good can't get you to heaven. You say, what? Yeah, being good can't get you to heaven. You know why? It's because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what do you think Jesus will do with sin? What does Jesus do with sin? He does one of two things with it. He either rejects because of sin, or he covers it in his blood, and he buries it in the deepest sea and remembers it no more. And can I tell you today, God has done either one of those two things with our sin as human beings, as individuals. He's either rejecting us, not because he doesn't love us, but because he's a holy God and he cannot look upon sin. But he would so much rather wash our sins in his blood and pay the penalty and the price of sin washed in his blood so we don't have to spend any eternity in hell, but that God who loves us can be with us forever. Resurrection power of Christ was about raising you and I up from the dead. It was not just a singular event. It's an event that happens again and again and again when a sinner opens their heart and trusts Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't get there by being good. Because God can't accept sin into heaven. Our sins got to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Oh, listen, God took care of that too, didn't he? He took care of all of that at once. You know, God multitasked the whole thing for us. It all happened in one fell swoop. He died, shed his blood, paid the price for sins, got up out of the grave, went to heaven, is paying for the sins of mankind. Whoever receives him will receive eternal life forever and ever. That's called a good deal. Amen? I like good deals. I like that word free. How many of you like the word free? How many of you like the word gift? I like that word gift. I like the word free. I had a man give me, he came in my office one day. He said, "Preacher, you need a car, don't you?" I said, "I've been praying for one." He said, "You got a dollar?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Give me a dollar." And I gave him a dollar and he gave me a title to his car. And it was a Ford, so there was some suffering involved in the whole situation also. But ain't everything perfect in life, amen? But no, you can't get to heaven by being good. If you get to heaven by being good, why would Jesus have come and died on that cross? He did it because he had us in mind. And he had you in mind. You say, how do you know he had me in mind? Because he made you. He created you. And when God creates something, he sees it's good. He loves his creation. But you know, some people choose not to receive the love of God. I don't understand why. But some people, God is just a fact in their head. He's just a knowledge. He's just a like a degree that hang on a wall. I know this about the Bible. I know this about God. Oh, listen, he's so much more. He is personal to your everyday life. And whatever it is that we endure in this life, he is there to walk with us, to comfort us, to lead us, and guide us directly through it. Why would a person ever reject that? He's a great and he's a mighty God. You see, they responded with great joy. You know, the very fact that they had to pay off the guards here to concoct a story, come up with something, you know, and let's make it look political spin. By the way, you thought political spin came along with Bill Clinton? It didn't. Amen. It's been around for a long time. They're still spinning it, no matter who they are. Amen? But can I tell you something? The very fact that they had to pay these guards off demonstrates the fact that what happened that day was true to even the lost world. They couldn't deny it. And they didn't say it didn't happen. They just said, let's make up a story. But let me tell you something. When Jesus came after this and showed all his disciples, they fell at his feet. Can you imagine touching the feet of the resurrected Jesus? And they grabbed his feet, the Bible says, and they worshiped him. And then he went to that mountain in Galilee and he showed all his disciples. Over 500 saw him there and testified that he was the risen Lord. And they came and worshiped him. Can I tell you what? Every Sunday he's worthy of your worship. Every Monday, he's worthy of your worship. Every Tuesday, every Wednesday, listen, every day of every week, of every month, of every year, till the day God calls us home, he is worthy of our heart worship to him and all that he does for us. Can I show you lastly here what he said? He said to his disciples, because I have risen again, there's something I want y'all to do. Notice in verse number 18 what he said. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He's got all power. There ain't nothing he cannot do. He has all power. And because he said, I have all power, he said this in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here it is, lo, I'm with you always. You know, these mission boards you see on this wall here today, and there and there, we're running out of wall space to put them. Amen. These missionaries that you see on these walls, they're in countries all over this world today. They're preaching the same gospel that I am, only in a different language, in a different culture, to a different people. But God has a love and enough power to save them in their need and in their culture, in their life, in it, wherever they are. God said, I got all power to save them. He said, so let's go. Let's go to them. Hey, because the resurrection occurred, the whole world needs to hear the gospel. The whole, what God did in my heart, what God did in your heart at salvation, and I hope he did, but what God did in our heart is not just for us to enjoy ourselves. It's to see the same resurrection power occur in the life of somebody else. You know, only 3% of the world lives in the United States. Did you know that? Only 3% of the world lives here in the United States. God sure loves the whole world, doesn't he? And so God made this point. He said, hey, I don't want you to just be content with having me in your heart. He said, I can go to any heart and every heart. I mean, if you're walking and breathing, God, you are the object of God's love. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And if all power is given to God in heaven and earth, then he can save anybody. Sometimes I'll hear of someone who'll say, Pastor, God couldn't save me because of some things in my life. God couldn't save me. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. His love, his grace and mercy is greater than anything we have ever done or seen in our life. It is. His mercy is greater than our sin. His grace is greater than any wrong place we've ever been to or done. Let me tell you something. You cannot outweigh what God has done by our wrong or our sin. Anytime we put our sin on the scale of God's grace, it will always sink to the point of God's grace. It's always greater. It's always greater. And I know that because he got up out of that grave and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he wants you and I to be reconciled to him, to be brought back together. You see, through sin, we wandered away. And we kind of did our own thing, went our own direction, kind of hoping our self-righteousness would get us there. But Jesus says, I've got a righteousness that I want you to have. I want you to be clothed in my righteousness. And when his righteousness was demonstrated by getting up out of that grave and ascending to heaven without any other form of life put into him because he had all power, then the message to you and me today and the message to every person who preacher who preaches on these boards in that country where they're at is this message. that God wants you to know Him and to be saved. So the question to us today is He personal in our own heart? Has He saved you? Do you know it? Is it settled? Or are you kind of in the turmoil of it where I was that night when I just kind of thinking about it and afraid, but not really ready to turn my heart over to Him? And in that turmoil, I wasn't ready to receive Him. Are you there? Can I tell you what today? Let that struggle go and let God win in your heart. Let that battle go. If He knocks on your heart this morning, open the door. Let Him in. He isn't living in heaven just for His own pleasure. He's living in heaven so that we'll come to Him and receive Him as our personal Savior. That's what the resurrection was all about. There's no purpose of Him coming to earth and dying on that cross and being raised. There's no purpose if it weren't for us. And so no matter who you are today, would you realize that He desires to come into your heart and make you born again? Maybe you've done that at one point in your time, in your life. Maybe you've done that, but maybe you kind of drift in that fellowship with God, kind of lackluster, it kind of drifts away. You don't need to be saved again, because God has kept His promise to you when He said in John 10, I'll put you in my hand and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the relationship never changes. He's always your God once you're saved. But sometimes the fellowship with God drifts. Sometimes we're just not in tune. And we need to get back to that tune of hearing His voice and walking with Him again. And maybe that's you today. And maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've been saved before, but I want to draw close to God again. Can I tell you what? His arms are wide open. He's ready to welcome you. Just like that father welcomed that prodigal son back, he dropped everything he had and said, put a robe on him and put shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf. He's come home. And that's what God desires to do. And maybe you're here today and maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior before. Maybe you've never made Him yours. Would you hear that Holy Spirit working and knocking on your heart today? Would you answer His voice? Would you open that door of your heart and say, Lord, let me come in? In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. A time where if you're serious and you want to trust Christ this morning, you can come and we'll pray with you. You can invite Christ into your heart. You can be saved and know it and have it settled in your life. Isn't it a good thing to have something settled? Amen. I don't like things all topsy-turvy and rolling and moving. And I don't like that. Let's settle it. And that's the invitation that God has for you today, is you can settle it with God today. Would you do it? He got up from the grave that He might settle your heart and your life on Him. Let's put our faith and trust in Him this morning. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.